Welcome to the fourth episode of the monthly data modelling podcast produced by Mark Morgan for DjangoModelling.com, our first episode for 2018. This monthly podcast discusses many different aspects of data modelling, the principles and the practice, based on what I have learned through years of experience. How to make the right choices consistently. Let's start this episode by looking at optional one-to-one relationships, because an optional one-to-one relationship is more common both in life and in data modelling than mandatory one-to-one relationships. Sometimes an object may be optionally connected to at least one other object. An example is a car which may be registered or licensed for use on public roads, or it may be allowed to be kept only for display or show purposes. The car is one object, the registration or license it has is an optional extra. The other common use is in subclassing, which can be very similar in its application. Imagine that information about all the dogs that live in a particular area is stored by the local government department. In the wisdom of this department, some breeds of dog are considered dangerous, and more information must be stored about them. Various details about all dogs might be stored in one table, including dangerous dogs, while some extra information would be stored in another table just about dangerous dogs. A dangerous dog will have a row in each of the two tables, and the two tables may even use the same unique object identifier for the rows that describe a particular dog in each table. Well, we've looked at one-to-one relationships, so now let's do a quick test to get you thinking. Here is a list of possible relationships. I have used the singular throughout, but don't let that mislead you. Listen to them and decide whether they are genuine or contrived, optional or mandatory, one-to-one or something else. A bed base and mattress. Person and head. Day and evening. Watch and watch band. Camera and flash. Dog and leash. Climber and mountain. Key and lock. Flower and petal. Bee and beehive. Car and engine. Aeroplane and pilot. Scientist and theory. How are you going with assessing these relationships? One scientist can have many theories, and many scientists can accept a particular theory, can't they? Well, now that you've had a bit of a break, let's keep going with more examples. Film and heroine. Doctor and nurse. Sentence and verb. Prison and prisoner. TV and watcher. Power cord and plug. Light and switch. Bible and reader. Phone and sim. Flower and stem. Milk and cow. East and west. Child and parent. Some of these stand out from the others as just a little strange, don't they? Is there really a relationship between east and west? There is not really a relationship at all. If you like, they are simply different values of an attribute called direction. In the list, did you find any one-to-one relationships? If you did, were they genuine or contrived? A person isn't a person without a head, are they? A power cord isn't a power cord without a plug. Would you say a flower is complete without a stem? Well, let's move on to another common form of relationship, the one-to-many relationship, and many-to-one. As we went through the list of relationships earlier. Most relationships do not demand one and only one connected object. It is much more common for the limit of one object to be only on one end of the connection. A tooth can be in only one mouth. A child has only one mother. A driver's license has only one owner. A hen's egg can only come from one hen. A city belongs to only one country. A petal belongs to only one flower, and so on. Incidentally, some of these example relationships are generally true but can have exceptions in the real world. In data modeling, if we model something as one-to-one or one-to-many, there must be no exceptions. None. In the practical application of data modeling, the simplest and most efficient way to model a one-to-many relationship is by having a column in one of the tables, which can store the unique identifier of the related object in a different table. And here we come to the nub of my confusion with relation naming. I understand what the name one-to-many means, but it feels all wrong because of the practical implementation which is normally used. The normal method is actually a many-to-one relationship using a foreign key. Many different rows can store the unique identifier of the one object in a different table. Unfortunately, the name one-to-many is also much more popular than many-to-one, despite the typical implementation being really a many-to-one relationship. If this confuses you too, don't worry. I blame it all on misleading terminology, but you can get used to it. A one-to-many relationship is essentially the same as a many-to-one relationship, although some would argue that the names reflect a different ownership or control of the relationship, and this is true. As a pedant, I find the argument convincing. For the moment, however, we will ignore it. The name one-to-many, or many-to-one, just depends on your point of view. A mouth has a one-to-many relationship with teeth, although with my grandfather it almost became one-to-one. From the tooth's point of view, teeth have a many-to-one relationship with mouths. So let's recap. A one-to-many relationship is normally implemented in a database by storing the unique identifier of the one object in a column for each of the many objects it is connected to. In other words, the one-to-many relationship is actually stored as a many-to-one relationship. Many different objects can be connected to one object by storing its identifier in a column. If you really want to model a one-to-many relationship, a separate connecting table is required, which can store many rows which link one row in one table to many rows in either the same or another table. This is a true one-to-many relationship in my mind, but in practical terms the other is exactly the same without the requirement for an extra separate table. Do you prefer to be pragmatic or picky? Well, we've come to the end of our fourth episode of the Data Modeling Podcast, and we hope that you enjoyed it. The next episode is planned for the first Monday of March, when we hope to look further at the modeling of connections between objects. In the meantime, if you want to enjoy reading similar information, why not visit the DjangoModeling.com blog at DjangoModeling.com/blog. Until next time then, that's it from Mark Morgan for DjangoModeling.com.